the one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
Greetings, fanboys and geek girls. Roll that 18-sided die. We're going to embark on a master quest.
I know a place where the geeks all come together. Dorks getting wild just to look at action figures. Sipping apple juice.
Poison Ivy, my, these girls are looking lively.
Wonder Woman, Supergirl, I'm so nervous I could hurl.
I like guns, I mean like growth guns. See her, meet her, this is fun.
The girl's a geek, she plays the Wii and loves Stan Lee.
Anime, I wanna play with Felicia Day. Now let's cosplay
Princess Peach,
the One Ring.
Comic Con's everything, fanboys hanging out, all that cape hanging out.
Movies and groupies and boobies, no newbies, just Daphne Scooby.
Katie, my lady.
Yeah.
How about an autograph, maybe?
Uh-huh. Wish we could get it on, cause you represent Comic-Con.
Comic-Con girls, we're incredible. Slave girl, lay a bikini on top. Star Wars chicks so hot, we'll melt your lightsaber. Fine flesh pierced, we got lots on top. Wizards represent.
Wizards.
Now put your wands up. Expecto Patronum.
I tell you, many botans died to bring us the information we're going to give you tonight. You know, rebellion's in full effect. This is Comic-Con day 3. And you people, y'all just don't, y'all ain't giving us enough credit for the trouble we're going through to bring you the news.
We're working on our asses off.
You did it again, Jordan. You did it again.
Oh, wow, because... fine, sorry, I'll go to the corner.
You know you're not supposed to speak until I introduce you. You don't exist until then, okay? I hate doing this on camera in front of the world to see us, you know? Because they want to see
us. I apologize.
They want to see us as one cohesive Batman and Robin group. Not,
all right, I apologize, Robin.
Not dysfunctional, okay?
I apologize, Robin. I will wait in the corner.
Oh, what the hell? You are just getting out of control. So, forget it. You hurt my feelings already. It's done. Over.
I'm sorry. I apologize.
No, I don't want it.
I honestly am sorry.
I just want to get through the show. I just want to get through the show, okay? I just want
to get through the show.
Okay. What are we here for again?
San Diego Comic-Con. International.
But I'm not in San Diego.
Yeah, neither am I.
Uh-oh, we got a call already.
Already, awesome.
So, we're going to talk some news out of the San Diego Comic-Con.
Big news, small news.
Jordan, tell the people how they can join us.
Yes, hello, I am Jordan Orfkov. This is Silver Surfer, and we are the What Are You Reading Comic Book Show. We are bringing you the news from San Diego Comic-Con International 2015. for the third day, the penultimate day, the biggest day. And there's no reason for you to join us and talk about your feelings on this. You can call the number 215-253-4516. I'm going to say that again slowly. 215-253-4516. You can also call and or add the contact SilverSurfer_forever.
And we are joined.
Or you could join me, Surfer, Stanley Kubrick, League Champion, Phil Raha, and many others in the Listen Live chat room at www.rantemradio.com/chat-live. Where there's also, I'm just going to say, a donate button to a PayPal to help fund Rant EM Radio. I mean, this certainly ain't cheap, so if you know whatever you can give, I'd be grateful because, you know, we're giving you entertainment. I mean, you know, you should, you know, at least give us a little something for it and whatever.
We are joined by King Geek himself. League Champion from Freaks and Effing Geeks.
I have that title, sir. I don't know who this is.
No.
I was taught you have to respect people when they come into, when you go into their house. So
I'm kidding.
I'm saying Jordan is you know, he's the resident geek on here. I can't.
I'm kidding. Lee, I'm glad you're fucking here, man. Because I thought if anyone should come on here, it'd be you, especially with what the news of today was.
I didn't want to overdo it the last couple of days, and I knew I would be more available during the weekend.
Nah, that's fair enough. And Lee, again, I enjoy your show. I'm glad you're here. So why don't we just get right to it?
Yeah, big news.
Huge news.
That Batman versus Superman Dawn of Justice Trailer 2 dropped today.
Yep, Warner Brothers' big Hall H presentation, which people waited all overnight for in line. And by the way, we're surprised last night by Zack Snyder bringing by the Batmobile from Batman vs. Superman.
I think Chris Nixon waited in Hall H line.
He's there?
Yeah, he goes to Comic-Con every year.
I actually have a friend that was at the Hall H presentation of Warner Brothers today. So, Troy, if you're hearing this, you better call in and give us some details, motherfucker.
So, anyway, basically what we get is the fallout.
Huh? Did my picture change?
Yes.
It did change?
Yes.
Okay, because I got to make sure I'm in tune with you all. Okay, I'm sorry.
Okay, so basically we get the fallout of what happened in Man of Steel with the destruction of half of Gotham. And the blame is being placed on Superman. He's an alien. You know, what the fuck is he doing? And apparently, Bruce Wayne was in Gotham when this happened.
Or Metropolis.
Thank you.
You know, it stands to reason that Wayne Enterprises would have a Metropolis office.
Yeah, but why would he be there? But anyway, it doesn't
Oversight.
Matter. Oversight. Doesn't matter, yeah. So he watched the destruction firsthand. And of course, you know, it seems like it's a philosophy of you got to stop Superman. But some people think Batman's a threat too, because he's a vigilante and he kicks ass. Lee, did you see the trailer?
I saw it, and I got two things to say.
Mm-hmm.
First thing is I awesomed all over the place, like it was just so. And the second thing was like my body is ready for this. I mean. Because I watched it so many times, and if you watch careful enough, you'll see some things, and I'm just ready. You know, a lot of people were upset, I think, the first time, because they were like, that wasn't a trailer, but I think people have lost sight of what a teaser is, and this was just something, you know, maybe y'all knew that they were going to do this, I didn't know, I just happened to be going through my YouTube, and it popped up, and I was like, the hell?
Okay, Batman vs. Superman was expected, Suicide Squad wasn't.
Well, that was leaked.
And also, whole Suicide Squad presentation.
Oh no, I figured they would have something to show for Suicide Squad.
Fair enough.
But the trailer got leaked, and Warner Brothers has been yanking that shit down like on point. Like,
why did you
I know a couple places that still have.
Yeah, I know.
I posted it. Didn't y'all see? I posted it.
Well, I saw it, but I'm saying it took me a few tries because. They were yanking it.
They do it every year. Last year they yanked the score, man?
Come on.
Yeah, you know what? At this point, you know, they should just like, okay, they show it at Comic-Con, put that shit on the internet, and, you know, They supposedly you'd be watching for cameras, but people tape that shit anyway. So what is the point? And then you just, it's not like people are going to stop going to Comic-Con if it goes on the internet right away. So do both. I mean, make everybody happy.
Everybody can't get in. I mean, I don't think it's fair for them not. I mean, if they do it the next day, that should be enough. But when do they plan on releasing it? I saw the Vixen trailer. They released that.
Yeah, we'll
get to that. But, of course, they released... Okay, Warner Brothers today presented Pan, the Man from U.N.C.L.E., which they released a trailer for today. By the way, side note, I'm still pumped for that movie. Mainly because I'm a Cold War espionage fucking nerd, anyway.
Henry Cavill got, like, two movies coming out.
Yeah. And there was also, of course, Batman v Superman. So, okay, I'm gonna give my quick thoughts on Batman v Superman. I like the trailer. I like it. I mean, I'm getting a much, much clearer sense of the story in this movie and the motivations behind the characters. And I'm getting a good look at the action. It looks good. Now, mind you, I'm not a Zack Snyder fan. Really, I think his only worthwhile movie is Dawn of the Dead. 300's visually stimulating, yes, but again, take the slow motion out, it's only
Guardians.
47 minutes long. Okay, I forgot. The Guardians of Gahul. I always keep forgetting he did the Owl movie. Okay, that was great. But really, also, Watchmen I wasn't the biggest fan of.
I
kind of like it, but it's like I kind of also don't.
Jordan, you shit on everything.
Man, I do not. Okay, clearly I do not shit on everything because you should hear me jizz all over the Flash, and goddamn Hannibal. I do not shit on everything. I'm just giving my honest opinion. And also, Sucker Punch is an abomination, and Man of Steel I have some major problems with, but. I have some also good
things.
It was
fine. I think you want them to be perfect, and that's never going to happen.
No, I do. Okay, I do not subscribe to perfection. I do not. I do not want everything to be perfect, because not everything will be perfect. I'm sorry. I do not want that said about me, because that is simply not true. Okay? Because to strive for perfection is going to be a flaw in human beings. If I strive for perfection in anything I'm doing, I'm going to screw myself over so damn hard in whatever story I'm trying to write. I do not want perfection. What I want is a good movie.
I'll say this in our step back.
And I'm sorry if I'm sounding a little bit defensive, but I hate
that. No. Let me tell you, we on radio. We don't take this stuff personal.
I do take it kind of personally since everyone was like, I just wanted to be perfect because you're a fan. I'm like, no, I don't want it to be perfect.
No.
What I want is a good story to be told.
Well,
no, I think. I'm sorry, sir.
Sorry. No, I was looking at something on our doc sheet that I wanted to yell at Jordan about. But go ahead, finish your discussion because I can wait.
I was gonna say that I think the two things that I noticed like with I think somebody like Zack Snyder, because of your opinion of what he's done in the past, that he's already fucked up, as far as you can see.
No, I'm not saying he's already fucked up, because I'm looking forward to Batman v Superman.
And I think we're opposite the way we look at some things, because, like, for me, that trailer right there is enough.
I like the trailer.
I don't want to see any more. I don't want to see any more. That was enough for me until the movie comes out.
Well, sadly, the movie's not out until March 2016, so we're gonna at least more trailer in the fall.
Depending on what it is.
Come December, you're gonna get the blitz. It's gonna be week after week of TV commercials for that thing.
No, but the thing is, though, we live in that age, but I don't want to see it because before, and I'm going off for a tangent for a second, but before Avengers 2 came out, Age of Ultron, they pretty much showed that whole Hulk Iron Man fight the whole in its entirety, and it's just like, let's leave that stuff. They gave, I feel like they gave me enough today. Is this show PG or is it I'm cool.
Well, we try to be family friendly, but you can speak
okay,
your mind.
I won't do it then.
No, speak.
okay, I'm sorry, but when I saw that trailer today, it got my dick hard. Like, it was like, it was just enough of everything I needed, just enough to be like, oh my goodness. But I think one of the issues that I think some, and we talked about this before, Jordan, is yeah. that some people have expectations about what they want this movie
I know, be. And I'm going to be honest. Look, and by the way, again, I apologize for my ranting, because look, again, I am just passionate about some things, and look, I'm not looking for perfection. Again, what I want in an adaptation is not perfection, because you're not going to adhere to two...
Because it says adaptation, though. It's loosely pulling from different stories.
Yeah, I know, but I'm saying of any adaptation in general, I'm looking for a good... I'm looking for a good representation of the story you're adapting, and, you know, the characters and such, and the conflict, so...
But they're not adapting any.
That's all I want. And what I'm seeing from this Batman v Superman trailer is it's just a good understanding of the story and of the characters, and also, so what if I'm drinking again, Phil? I don't give a shit, but...
But Jordan, I think they just pulling from they, okay.
The no, they're pulling from so many. And by the way, I still have an issue of like, if we're gonna go so deep into Dark Knight Returns so quickly, why? I still don't want that. But
well,
okay,
who said they are,
did you notice that shot where he was hanging off the side of the roof, and it looks like
yeah.
the iconic cover where he's like got his hands out when he's diving off the roof?
Where they bite for a grapple. What I noticed that surfer. What I'm saying, Jordan, is this. I'm saying that I think that Robin and Diddy said this once before. Somebody asked him, were they upset when they how they adapted the, did the surrogates? He wrote it one way and the movie came out another way. He said, no, I told that story already, and it's for somebody else to tell their version of it. And I,
no, that's exactly. How I that's how I feel. Are.
Wait a minute. And I feel like when it came to this, when people heard Batman vs. Superman, they saw the costume and saw the symbol, they automatically locked in on Dark Knight Returns. And I think the only thing they took from that was the fact that this is an older Bruce Wayne, they said, who had already been through some shit, and that he's going to be fighting Superman for whatever reason. But that's all I think they took, because if you go back, there was no... a lot of other stuff isn't in there. I mean, this is also pulling from what happened in Man of Steel. You got Wonder Woman showing up. You got other people...
No, I do love that Man of Steel, the events of Man of Steel, are having a huge precedent on this, on the events of Batman v Superman. That's what I love.
So what do y'all think about Wonder Woman from the scenes y'all saw?
From the brief 2 seconds she appeared?
She looked fine to
me. Okay. I mean, Gal Gadot... wears the costume, and she does action. That's really all I got.
Well, okay, you were saying how you're going to probably see more. So, we still got to see Robin show up, or Nightwing, wherever they're using. We still got.
Is he really going to be in there?
I doubt it.
I heard that he's kind of in it, but I'm not sure.
Or Scoot McNairy's character.
Then, of course, Aquaman, you got to see him in a trailer at some point.
Dang. I think Aquaman just gonna have a scene at the end of the movie. You know what I think?
Cyborg.
I think these characters.
Flash.
Like Aquaman is coming to see what's going on Earth, and Diana. That's why she showed up. But I'm assuming.
Well, she's kind of like Bruce Wayne's like date throughout the movie.
Well, Surfer, I'm gonna tell you what somebody said on another group that I'm a part of.
Mm-hmm.
And this person was serious when they read this. Somebody posted some screenshots, and they showed, like, the Jason... Well, I'm assuming the Jason Todd outfit, because, I mean, they can always change this stuff. I'm assuming from the comics that's what it is, but they can say it's not.
Is this a group I can join?
I don't know if you want to be part of it or not. I mean, you're not a Green Lantern fan like that, but...
I am a Green Lantern fan, so
I'm a fan of all comic books.
I mean, it's really for people to just read it, but okay, I mean, if you want to, it's up to you. I don't care. So anyway, it's not my group. They've posted this, and then someone said, and they were serious, this is what they said, why isn't Linda Carter Wonder Woman? What is Wonder Woman's significance in this movie?
Okay.
The guy responded, Linda Carter's in her 60s, why would she be Wonder Woman in this? And he went on about some other stuff. And then the first guy who asked the question came back and said, even if she's in her 60s, there's such thing called digital makeup and stunt doubles. I have a feeling this new Wonder Woman actress won't be accepted because she's not Linda Carter. This is the type of foolishness that people have in their mind. Why do you want a 60-year-old woman playing Wonder Woman? The same people who want Denzel Washington, 60 years old, to be Green Lantern, just let it go. let it go. They want Adam West to be
I wouldn't mind seeing a 60-year-old Linda Carter in a Wonder Woman outfit, but yeah, I don't want
to. Not that evil, but
I don't need to see it in the movie. You know, I watch the TV show every now and then. That's enough for me.
All the world is waiting for you.
Now, as far as the Suicide Squad,
But hold on. Yeah, that's by the way, and I just wanted to bring up real quick. Since Lee brought Green Lanterns, there was an announcement at the panel as well. The Green Lantern movie will be titled Green Lantern Corps. And is going to be featuring multiple Earthbound Green Lanterns.
Good.
So in this new movie, we could be having Hal Jordan, Kyle Rayner, Guy Gardner, John Stewart.
Well, they announced the Hal Jordan.
They have not announced. Wait, have they?
No, there's been rumors.
Yeah, they're rumors right now.
Oh, they said. I got the link.
Are
you talking about Chris Pine playing Hal Jordan?
Yeah.
That's a rumor.
Yeah, that's a rumor.
You know what? Let me link it.
Yeah, link it. Because I also saw an article where he's supposed to be playing Steve Trevor.
Yeah.
No, they said they gave an option between the two.
Oh, okay.
Now, I want to know why all these blonde people named Chris getting all these superhero roles.
Because they are charmingly handsome and amazing, and you can just stare off into their eyes for hours.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, Suicide Squad footage. It leaked, good luck, Warner Brothers.
Slow down, I'm talking. You do this to me, Joe, you take it over. You're trying to crush, trying to move me out. Why are you doing this? This is my time to shine.
You gotta stop that fake crying, because it's getting annoying.
Okay, now, but what I want to say... I couldn't see much because, you know, somebody in the back of the room. But what I did see, I thought the Joker was impressive for that quick second he showed up. The rest was just looked like scenes of trying to show how action-packed it is without really giving you a story. And, of course, I love my girl, Amanda Waller, you know.
Viola Davis.
Viola Davis, yes.
Where I'm kind of excited about the Batman v Superman trailer, I was kind of on Suicide Squad. I think the darker tone and harsh setting, very fitting for Suicide Squad, but, I just wasn't too sold on it.
We just got an animated movie, and you know people are going to compare the two.
Yeah, but, I'll be honest. As much as I love Margot Robbie as an actress, I don't like the look of her Harley Quinn, and I'm not too sure from what I've seen of the trailer.
She looked like Lollipop Chainsaw, whatever that
she
was.
She kind of does look Lollipop Chainsaw-ish, and I gotta say, she has to know how dirty those prison bars are, so it is unsanitary of her to lick it. I was gonna say that.
God.
But it's... I'm just not too sure about her yet. I maybe if I see the trailer in an official capacity with much better audio and much better video, I can see. But whatever, Jared Leto. He showed up for a second. He kind of sounded like he was doing a voice impression of Heath Ledger's Joker, to be honest.
See, I got a total different Joker. Totally different from the laugh.
Oh, no, this is a totally different Joker. That is a completely different laugh, and I'm going to agree with that. But also, I will still say the one thing I'm adamantly against is Jai Courtney as Captain Boomerang. That is terrible casting. You cast a block of wood as one of the most charismatic characters in the DC universe. Ugh!
Know what people... Like, Sherman Hemsley was one of the most shyest people ever. But none of his roles, he said he didn't feel comfortable playing some of them roles, but he did what he had to do. You don't know what a person can do until it's done. We should learn that by now.
Okay, fair enough. But really, I haven't seen anything of Jai Courtney. I haven't seen any acting of Jai Courtney that's really impressed me beyond the emotional range of, say, Sam Worthington.
Don't compare Worthington and...
Guy Courtney?
I don't know why people like doing that.
They're kind of the same.
I've seen Sam Worthington do some dramatic roles.
Why can't we just wait and see what they can do?
But we're talking about our reactions to the trailers, right?
I'm just saying, how many times. But what you saw in the trailer was a probably a total of less than five seconds of this match.
I know.
So I don't think that's enough to really give a...
I'm saying what I'm saying about Jai Courtney based off every single thing, off of every role I've seen him in.
Well, that's why he's called an actor.
I know. But again, I haven't seen any good performance of his. I haven't seen anything of him as an actor that's really blown me away. If he can prove me wrong with fucking Captain Boomerang, I'll come on the air and say I was fucking wrong. Jai Courtney rocked it as Captain Boomerang. But if he doesn't, then whatever.
I just think every comic book movie, other movies don't get this crap. Comic book movies always, there's always an actor or two who gets the shits.
Well, here's the thing. It's because so many comic book movies, you know, they're using characters that are established, that have many facets in them, and people are already well familiar with the characteristics of the character are.
Well, it's like this. You read a comic book, and they imprint an image. Even when the artist changes, the image usually stays the same. So once you get that voice in your head of who that character is, Hollywood sees something, always sees different. They never cast for, you know, who fits the character on page.
And I understand to a degree, sir.
They always cast who's the biggest star, who we think will draw people in.
And I understand that. I guess what I'm thinking is that you've been reading comics. Both of y'all been reading comics for a long time. And if you follow a character close enough, whenever there's a different writer on that book, they write these characters different. I mean, they give them a different voice. I mean, maybe it's looked differently at because it's in an actual comic. Like, for example, because I've grown up seeing different Jokers, Cesar Romero, Jack Nicholson, and
Mark Hamill.
I want to see, hearing Mark Hamill, and then also the guy who replaced Mark Hamill. I want to see a different person. I do not want to see or hear. You know, I would prefer not to. If they choose to go that way, that's fine because they have the right to.
No, I do agree. But for as different as they need to be, they also need to have the true core of the character itself.
Not necessarily, because it's based upon it's based off of what it is. It's not a word for word. You're not getting something that's straight up adaptation. They take the meat of what they want and throw away the bones. So it doesn't have to be that way. I mean, I think that's the thing. Years ago, before they did comic movies, people who read novels felt the same way. I remember this lady got upset because she read Misery, and she was like, "Well, they left all this out of the book, and this is I don't understand it."
Books are easy to explain because you read a book, and it could take you, like, if you read a book straight through, it could take you 10 total hours. You can't fit 10 hours of content into a 2-hour movie, so stuff has to be cut out. But
all I'm saying is that I think we should just give it a chance.
Yeah, well, I'm always about that, but
because I was that guy who was when them first X-Men movies and stuff came out, because I was so X-Men so dead in my heart, I was looking for certain things, and when certain things didn't make sense to me. And my wife was looking over at me like, "What's the big deal? Just enjoy the movie." And I was like, "No, that didn't happen." And after a while, I found myself, with her being annoying, because every time I saw something that wasn't the same, I was like, "It didn't happen in the comics that way. It didn't happen in the comics that way." Then after a while, and that doesn't give them an excuse to put out something that's not decent. You know what I'm saying? I mean, and I understand what you're saying, Jordan. There's sometimes when a person, when they can take away completely from something, like they Avatar: The Last Airbender, for example. But at the same time, I mean, I think that they should have some type of poetic license to be able to tell their version of the story and not be completely their hands tied where it's like, okay, they didn't do this in the comics, so we can't do this here. And that's always going to be some.
I agree, but again, for me, when you're doing a character, be it a straight adaptation or an alternate version of the character, it has to be a resemblance of what the character is at the core. Even if you're taking a different take, there needs to be a bit. There needs to be something very familiar. There needs to be something a little bit resembling what the character is at heart.
Well, when they did the Ultimate Universe in Marvel, and they did the Marvel Universe, there were some characters that were completely different.
Oh yeah, some for good, some for the better. Like, some for good, some for worse. Like, I would say, for the longest time, I wasn't the biggest fan of Ultimate Universe Captain America, if I'm going to be completely honest.
But what I'm saying is that with that, they were viewed as, I'm like, okay, I may not like it, but I understand what this is.
No, I do. And I get that. But again, my thing is, and I respect what you're saying. It's like, got tongue tied. It's worthwhile what you're saying. It really is, and I respect that. But again, for me, when you're adapting a character, I don't care if it's a comic book, or if it's a video game, or a novel, or anything. If you're adapting one character from one medium to another, and if you're going to try a different take, there has to be a core characteristic about the character that made that character what it is at the heart of it.
Give me an example.
I got to get you two away from each other. Y'all go on.
I'm sorry. You can give me one off. Hey, I'm just curious the way he coming from. And this is a whole, it'll hijack the whole show with this. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
I just wanted to bring up about the adaptation of the Killing Joke into animated
film. Yes. Oh, by the way, I wanted to bring up a comment. Phil, it's just
that news broke late last night. And yeah, we went off the air. We would have talked about it, so we had to talk
yes
about it
after the world premiere of the latest Justice League Gods and Monsters by Bruce Timm and Alan Burnett. It was announced that by Bruce Timm officially, the next animated movie will be coming out in 2016. It'll be an official adaptation of The Killing Joke by Alan Moore.
So and Alan Moore, he's probably going crazy right about now. Well, he's already crazy.
I imagine not. Because I feel like Alan Moore's attitude is, I don't give a shit. In addition, two other animated movies were announced. Batman Bad Blood, an original Batman story that features the introduction of Batwoman. It's a new line of animated films. For the record, that Batwoman will be Kat Kane, the Jewish lesbian redhead crime-fighting kick-ass lady. And Justice League vs. Titans, another original story, and for the first time of the DC Universe original movies to feature the Teen Titans.
What version of the Teen Titans? Are we talking
about... I haven't said.
I know, I mean, okay. Are we talking their original Teen Titans, where you get Speedy and Robin and all those sidekicks, or are you talking about the Marv Wolfman Teen Titans that everybody basically grew up on with Raven and Starfire
and Beast Boy and Cyborg? Yeah, they haven't said. Although, I'm going to guess Marv Wolfman, since that was what the Teen Titans animated series was.
Yeah,
the Marv Wolfman, George Perez team.
I trust that they will put a lot of the Killing Joke into this animated, but I don't think they're going to go totally there on everything that's in that book. Like, because didn't he rape her?
No, that was implied.
Right, well.
It was implied. Okay, they didn't outright say it. It was just an implied thing.
If it was implied, it was done. They didn't show it on page, but they, if you implied, then it was done. And then the question is Batman going to kill the Joker at the end, like everybody says he did in the book?
That was also implied. That was an open-ended ending.
I know that.
Well, I'm saying that, for people who might not have gotten that, you know, again, it's an open-ended ending, where, much like how the rape of Barbara Gordon by Joker was implied, it was open-ended. You could think in your mind, oh, did he really do that? Or, at the end, did Batman really kill the Joker? Again, that's what Alan Moore was going for. And I hope that's what they go for with this animated movie, because The Killing Joke, people have been wanting a Killing Joke movie for a long time, be it animated or live action. They've been wanting this. They said, we gotta have Mark Hamill be the Joker, and Mark Hamill said this is the one movie that would get him out of retirement of the Joker to say, like, yes, I'm gonna be the Joker for this. This will be my one last thing. If they get to do this, then I'm gonna be right there. No casting's been said yet.
You read Killing Joke, haven't you, Lee?
Killing Joke? Okay, I got it. I read it.
Yeah, so, like, I would think everybody have read Killing Joke by now. If you haven't, I don't know if you... Wait, we've been. There's a good 10 books that everybody should have read by now, and Killing Joke's one of them. So
yeah, I think that the amazing thing about that is that when it first started, it was elsewhere. I mean, it was like, you know, it wasn't part of. Just Cam Moore just doing his thing, and you know that whole thing with Batman and him really took off when Grant Morrison got on that Kevin Smith podcast and said that. And you know, Grant Morrison, one of those guys that when he says some stuff, he could say, you know, there's a being of people living on the sun, and people will just start believing that because Grant Morrison said it. So,
yes, exactly.
Yeah,
they're giving him a book. It looks like I thought he was done with superhero characters for a while, but
who, Grant Morrison? No, me.
No, I agree. And also, Lee, to answer your question real quick as to a different adaptation of a character that has basic characteristics, I would say the Batman version, the version of Batman Red Son. I was gonna say that.
I mean, that's pretty every that's almost every multiverse character in the DC universe, though. They have, I mean, especially if you read Multiversity or anything.
I haven't actually read Multiversity yet because, honestly, Grant Morrison reads much better in trade paperback to me.
He does, but for this particular one, you can read it separate and it'll be fine.
I've heard that, but for me, I kind of just
only on this. No other work have I read by him has done that except this one.
I know, but I kind of still want to get it all together in the collection and just put aside an afternoon and just read it all together.
That shit gonna be expensive altogether because they're releasing it as some deluxe hardcover and it's like $99.
Sales, man, sales.
Even at half off, it's $50.
Black Friday.
Okay, that's one of the first things gonna fly off the shelf.
Which flies off the shelf?
Multiversity.
Oh, Multiversity, yeah.
Multiversity, they releasing it. Then they probably, DC is slow to release some of their trades, but when they initially release that, they're going to release it as deluxe hardcover, and it's like going to be like $100. And the only reason why they're doing that because they know it's Grant Morrison, and they know people are going to buy it regardless.
Yeah, because Grant Morrison's a huge name that sells.
Now, if you go to InStock Trades, that first week, you'll probably be able to get $50, but if you wait till Black Friday, you better be in line. Well, that's going to be gone.
Depending on where you are.
You got to give it to Marvel. They don't waste time getting those trades out.
Marvel does a good job. Only person that does it better is Image. Image, if the day they come out with their trade, their next issue comes out the same day most of the time. So, like, you can get 1-5 and number 6 come out at the same time 1-5 came out. And they also good with giving those first trades at $10. That's a great way to try a series out. 5 issues, sometimes up to 8 issues for $10.
Well, what about Image? They'll put the first 5 or 6 issues together of a book in the first trade, $10. It's an introduction.
Well, I gotta ask you, Jordan, why do you have Veronica Mars news up here? We ain't talking about no Veronica Mars.
I will say this is half my show, and if you get to talk about Grimm, I get to talk
first
about
of all,
Veronica Mars.
Grimm is in comic books, okay?
Veronica Mars is a huge nerd favorite, so I'm... Shut up.
No.
I'm finding any flimsy excuse I can right now.
No.
Okay, look. I'm going to get this out of the way. Rob Thomas, co-creator of iZombie, is also the sole creator of Veronica Mars, and people keep asking about Veronica Mars even after the movie came out. And apparently, at a discussion with TV Line today, while promoting iZombie, he mulled the possibility of the return of Veronica Mars. He and asked whenever fans can expect another movie. He said he hoped to. Kristen Stewart is certainly game, or they could do a short run series like a Veronica Mars True Detective sort of thing, like a pristine limited engagement TV show, like on
Netflix.
Nobody
saw the movie. Nobody cares anymore. Okay,
I care because
you need to move on from that show. I know you care, but no. Let's talk some Spider-Man.
Oh, Spider-Man. Okay, so. Yeah, let's talk about Spider-Man the Reanimator. Okay, that doesn't make sense right now, but it's about to. Dennis Leary is at Comic-Con right now, and he has a panel tomorrow with FX promoting his new upcoming show, Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll, which is premiering later this month. Or really next week. What timing? Apparently, if the Amazing Spider-Man series was to go on, Peter Parker would resurrect his dead ones. Talking with IGN, Dennis Leary confirmed that he was set to reprise his role in Amazing Spider-Man 3 as Captain Stacy in the following quote. Possibly in 3, there was this idea at one point that Spider-Man would be able to take this formula and regenerate the people in his life that died.
That sounds so damn stupid.
So there was this discussion that Captain Stacy would come back even bigger in episode 3. And I agree, that's stupid as shit. Because the deaths in Spider-Man, B-Day his parents, B-Day Gwen Stacy, B-Day Captain Stacy, or B-Day almost any goddamn body, mean something to Peter. They impact his life. They take shape of who he is as a person. And to say, like, screw that, is stupid.
You know what? I understand what you're saying, but if they don't do some of these things, they're going to be telling the same story. Look, these characters are old enough to be our parents if they were alive, and some of them older than that, depending on how long they've been out. Somebody like Superman, they have to do crazy things every now and then, and it's not something that they say is going to last. I mean, it's something that, it's just a,
okay,
I think it's just a way for them to tell stories.
I know, but Neuromancer Spider-Man?
But see, the thing is, growing up as children, we never cared about any of this stuff. We just wanted good stories.
I know, and look, there have been some resurrections in comic books that have worked. Bucky Barnes is the Winter Soldier. That's been amazing. That was amazing. Bringing back Hal Jordan, yeah, great. But honestly, with Spider-Man, you need to keep Uncle Ben, you need to keep the parents, and you need to keep Captain and Gwen Stacy dead. Unless there's an alternate timeline, like, say, Ultimate Universe, where Gwen Stacy is alive, or the alternate universe right
says
now.
Who
oh, wait, wait.
These characters dead.
Really? I just can't see any reason for bringing Peter's parents back.
Well, that's why we gotta read the story, because if we already knew the answer, then we don't need him buying it.
Well, you know, there was speculation that they're not really dead, that they're spies somewhere. I know that was speculated for a long time.
That was even in the comics, yes.
Yes. Well, anyway, I don't think anybody cares about Peter's parents. And I'm more concerned that they keep trying to make Aunt May hot and young.
Yeah. Man, that's somebody who you would think would have died, like straight up died.
Aunt May should have. Well,
she did.
Right,
she did die.
Well, no, I mean, like, stay dead.
Right.
For
I'm
a while.
Saying
she. Oh, she definitely should have.
But she didn't stay dead that long.
And no,
thanks,
she was no.
Getting
she,
shot.
She was no, no. Day. She was dead for a few years before.
A few
they,
years. I'm talking about like at least Barry Allen dead.
Yeah. No.
Because some of these characters, sir, if I understand, like, okay, and this is my opinion of it, of course, and. But I think it would maybe, if they would consider some things, I think they're afraid to do some things. And I wonder how much they tie their hands with stuff because these movies are out now. And they don't want people running to the comic shop. And then these characters don't look like they did in that movie. You know, I mean, because, okay, somebody like Aunt May is somebody who's important in Peter's life when he's a teenager. But then when Peter was older, I mean, there came a point in time when Peter Parker wasn't a 15-year-old no more. He got married. He wasn't wearing glasses, you know, and all this other stuff. And what if there were people who felt like, well, you know, this is ridiculous. Now they're making Peter old, and now he's married. I mean, this doesn't make any sense. I mean, he needs to stay home. That's the whole beauty of him being a child. What if people thought that way?
Well, you know, there's a thought that most comics creators that if they had it their way, Peter Parker would always stay 15 and always stay in high school. And the character would never grow up. It'd be like Bart Simpson. And I can't.
Well, we don't need him to do that. That's why we got Miles Morales now.
Which word is that they might have both characters in a movie at some point. Miles Morales and Peter Parker together on screen.
Who's the
possibly? Who knows?
What'd you say?
Who's the editor in chief of Marvel? Axel Alonso.
Axel Alonso. Yes.
So that's what he want.
Well, he's only in print. Joker.
Wait a minute, is he the same Axel? He's not the same guy who. Who's the guy that helped them back in the 90s with the action figure lines and all that stuff? His name began with.
I don't know who helped him in the 90s. But I know Joker Sada.
Not him.
He's the creative officer. He's the one that makes sure that everything runs, you know, print, movies, TV.
No, I know who it is. Ari Arad. He was that one. Ari.
Oh, okay. Well, he works some movies.
He's the one that got him all them TV deals and them toy biz deals.
Right. And he still, like, produces on, like, the Sony Spider-Man and the Fox's movies and stuff.
The reason why it threw me off because the initials. I just saw AA and I got them mixed up. This guy's a lot older.
He doesn't work for Marvel anymore, but he works for the Marvel films that the other studios have.
Okay. I got you. Okay. So, one more thing, and I don't know if you announced it yesterday, and I don't know if it's really big news as far as y'all concerned or not, but I thought I saw something that said they're not going to do Fantastic Four in 3D.
We were going to get to that tomorrow.
Yeah.
Okay. That was non-Comic-Con news, but hey, you brought it up. That's no problem. We'll just bring it up right now. Fox is scraping its plans for the 3D release of Fantastic Four because they feel like it's really not working and they'd rather just think, screw it, we'll just show it in 2D. So, 3D isn't working for the Fantastic Four.
Now, Surfer, can I ask you a question about 3D?
Sure.
I know you go to a lot of different movies. So, somebody told me this once, and tell me if this is true or not. Somebody told me that there are movies that are specifically made in 3D.
Yes.
And then there are some movies that...
Converted.
Okay, and the converted ones may not always translate or look right.
Correct.
So, they're pretty much saying that they're not going to do... Are they saying that this isn't going to be... There's not going to be any 3D for this movie? Or they're just
yeah,
not...
Yeah, there won't be any 3D showings in the theaters. They're just going to...
Oh, okay. So, how can you tell if something is a real 3D movie? I mean, is it a way for us to know as people that go?
Colors for one. It's a giveaway. Okay, take Avatar, right?
No, I'm saying before we go. Like, if I want to go see a movie and I want to know, like, I want to see this, but I want to know that it's like a real 3D. Is it a way for me to find out before I go to the movie?
I guess IMDb or you can find out online.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if they like put it. So if I go to a movie theater and it says such and such such 3D, will the poster say anything? I mean,
the poster will tell you that a movie's in 3D, but that doesn't mean it was filmed in 3D. Could have been converted. Man. So part of the problem with 3D conversions, right? Some films, you know, are too gray tone, and when you convert those into 3D, it doesn't pop off the screen when the colors don't separate. That's what made Avatar look spectacular. It's like it was all these colors that you could separate on the screen. And, of course, he did film that in 3D. But most films are conversion anyway because it's cheaper to just film it and then convert it later. But you got to know what you're doing when it comes to the conversion because there's been some terrible 3D conversions. And then you can also tell if you're watching a 3D movie and you don't see things that are purposely popping out of the screen, then that means they weren't thinking about 3D from the start. They were just doing a movie, and somebody decided, well, we can make more money if we put it in 3D, which everybody thinks that now. Plus, they think that cuts down piracy anyway, so.
Okay, thanks, because in Matt Echelon, he said it usually says shot with 3D, because I would just go to the movies and it would say like 3D, 3D IMAX. And I just thought if it was available in 3D that it was just one process. I never knew they specifically, you know, set aside and filmed something a certain, you know, converted something. Well, I knew they filmed, you know, I didn't know there was a conversion that took place. I thought it was all intended, you know.
Well, even movies that are shot in 3D, if they plan on showing a 2D version, they have to convert that. So, you know.
Oh, you mean like if something was only shot in?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, man, I would take IMAX over. It's got to be only certain movies will I see in IMAX 3D. For one thing, if I go to see something in IMAX 3D, I'm going early in the morning when no one else is there because I can't have anybody ruin that experience. Because them tickets cost too much money to be playing around with. And I want a seat that I know is a good seat.
You got an AMC near you?
Yeah, I have an AMC, but I have a better my cousin works at the AMC, so I can get like a discount there, but I have one of those you know, we showed that video some years ago. I showed you that video that there's a movie theater that's here that's it looks phenomenal inside. It has like a balcony section.
Uh-huh.
It's like hosted up. It's in the air and you can like put your feet up and they serve you stuff at your seat.
Like a movie grill.
Oh yeah, they serve like alcohol and they serve like they'll bring you, you know, wine or whatever, and they have food.
Yeah, yeah. They starting to pop those up around here. And
it's called I don't want to say movie I think it's tavern? Called Landmark. It's Landmark.
Have you heard of that? Yeah, well, we got Landmark, but not the ones that serve food. They just show indie films.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
But y'all think y'all had y'all Landmarks way before us, though. That's probably why.
Well, they weren't Landmarks. They got bought out by Landmarks. We had the Ritz, and, of course, they couldn't stand their own, so Landmark bought them out. That's Mark Cuban's chain.
Wait, that is?
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know that.
All right. Well,
he owned it at one time.
Okay. Well, shit, man. Okay. Well, yeah, I honestly, I'm just going to give my quick opinion. If it works, you know, go with it. But really, 3D only works better for me with animated movies, in all honesty. That's just me.
I couldn't think 3D. For when I thought they would see Man of Steel, the fight scenes were, they were moving too fast for the 3D.
Oh, and fair. I don't know if it... I saw it in 2D, so I can't find
it. I saw it in IMAX 3D.
Well, I went back and saw it the second time in 2D, and it was fine. But I'm wondering if I saw it in IMAX 3D, if it would have been better. Because I saw... Did I see Winter Soldier or Avengers? One of them in IMAX 3D, and it was wonderful.
I thought
if I could do IMAX 3D all the time, I would. I mean,
I thought the Avengers was wonderful. The first Avengers was wonderful in IMAX 3D. I saw
that one. Yeah, that was...
I didn't get to see the second one in IMAX.
Me neither.
I did see Terminator in IMAX. That would, you know, and
did it make a difference?
Some of it, yeah. And Jurassic World, saw that in IMAX. So now, what I was going to say though, like if you go to AMC, you don't have to buy IMAX ticket because they don't have nobody at the door. You just buy a regular ticket and you hold on to your glasses from the last time, and you just make a left turn. That's your Uncle Surfer's tip for the day.
Now you're right. They don't have anybody at the doors. They just tell you to go down the hall. But I mean, it's not. And I mean, and don't get me wrong. When they first opened this AMC here, it was and people probably still do it. You know, you leave out one theater and you go into another one because. But I'm pretty sure they got cameras or something set up. It's just I don't know. I mean, they got it set up so different now. Where, well, we got this thing where you can get the. You know, unlimited popcorn, unlimited, you know, well, everybody gets refills on their drinks because they have, you get your own drinks. But, you know, I guess it all depends on, you save your glasses from the last time. But the thing, the times are different. So you can't always, it doesn't always work. Because the IMAX times don't always line up with the regular showings.
Well, I usually time it.
Because you stick around there probably all night. And then
No. I mean, like, okay, if this is an IMAX movie, right? I go see what other movie is starting around that same time. And I buy that ticket.
All that.
So, you know, if I have to buy a ticket to the Gallows, you know, because that's starting at the same time as the IMAX, that's what I do. That's if I want to save a buck.
You go through all that shit, Surfer. You go and they see you so much they probably trust you.
No, I don't travel to this state. This state is pretty far away, so I only do it on special occasions. I'm just saying, if you don't want to pay full price, there are ways around it. That's all I'm saying.
So you saying what you do is you go to a movie that's the same starts the same time as that movie.
Mm-hmm.
pay for that ticket, and what you, but you, but the thing, you don't know what. See, I don't know how your theaters are set up. At our theaters, your movie, you don't know what side your movie gonna be on. Your movie could be on this side of the building or that side of the building.
Well, once I hand the ticket, and I go to the concession stand, they're not paying attention that I'm going in the right direction or not, because they've already lost. They can't focus just on me. They focus on everybody coming to the door.
So go through all this trouble.
All right.
You know what? I can't help people no more. I try to give
sound
advice, right. And
your words of wisdom, ancient one.
Well, speaking of wisdom, some people, like to question the wisdom of people who choose the award winners.
Let's save that for tomorrow.
The Eisner Awards?
Yeah.
Okay, fine.
Because we can't go. We have to go up the air at a certain time, so.
All right. Wait, what time?
Well, William's show goes at 11. I mean, if he pops in the chat room, I'll ask him minutes. All right.
William ain't going on until 11:30. You know that. I'm just fucking with you, William.
Anyway, okay, so we will get to the Eisner Award winners. We'll go over the full winners of the Eisner Awards tomorrow. Okay.
Did anybody see the Apocalypse poster for the X-Men?
I saw a picture.
I did. I should note. Posters were handed out a special screening today at San Diego Comic-Con with Bryan Singer in attendance of X-Men, Days of Future Past, The Road Cut. The Road Cut, of course, being the extended edition of the movie with all of Anna Paquin's scenes added in. And posters were handed out, small posters, like, you could hang tiny, above your bed or whatever, of Apocalypse. Not a full picture, like a silhouette with facial features of Oscar Isaac's Apocalypse, with the destruction, the shattered Xavier School, and its silhouette.
Apocalypse was the dude in the 90s. I mean, like...
Yes, the 90s.
Like, everything was like Apocalypse is coming. He's just fucking the X-Men world up. I mean, he fucked with X-Men, X-Factor, X-Force. He didn't give a fuck. He's like,
look. The Extinction Agenda.
Like, when they did the 90s cartoon, the big event was when they did Apocalypse on there. It was like, yeah, Apocalypse.
The Extinction Agenda was Cameron Hodge and Genosha.
That was Cameron Hodge and Genosha. Which, that was a pretty fucked up story. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
It was sad, that whole thing.
I remember Age of Apocalypse, that storyline being...
I'm not even talking about the Age of Apocalypse. I'm just talking about when he was just dead, just fucking shit up.
Put it this way. Warren Worthington III was never the same after dealing with Apocalypse.
None of them were. Like, he's turned plenty of X-Men into horsemen. Like,
who you think he has, but who you think he did more damage to Angel, or do you think Mr. Sinister did more damage to Cyclops? Because he fucked with Cyclops.
Angel's kind of fucked by his experience of Apocalypse and being a horseman. I'm going to say Angel, because Sinister has fucked with Cyclops, but I don't think to the degree of that being a horseman of Apocalypse has with Angel. I was going to say that.
I think you're both wrong. I think Cable's been the one fucked up more by Apocalypse than
anybody.
He fucking infected him as a baby.
But I don't think it's just Apocalypse with him. All right, so who's responsible for all them motherfuckers who didn't went to the future and the past and all this shit? Fuck. Franklin Richards is just as fucked. It's just they just want to write him as... They can't make up their mind what they want to do with Franklin Richards. Remember back in the day he had that Future Force or Fantastic Force book or whatever it was?
Mm-hmm.
When he came back...
I forgot about Fantastic Force.
Exactly. Because they can't make up their mind what they want to do with Franklin
Richards. Well, also because it wasn't that good of a book.
No. Here's the thing about Franklin Richards, okay? His power levels has been... like different at different stages of his life. So when you see him in the future, it was in line with how his powers was as a kid. But now the Franklin Richards from the future is way more powerful than anything you can ever imagine. Like
the crazy part.
When you see him in Days of Future Past, he is so weak it's not even funny. He's been captured by the by the Sentinels.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. He's either this all powerful dude written that way, or you know, and or he's written where he has to be saved all the time. I mean, well, they had him in power.
No, he is. He is an all powerful dude, but he's had his powers dampened because had his powers been allowed to take effect as a kid, he would destroy everything.
Well, look, he screwed fucking Rachel Summers was screwed. Blink, she was borderline screwed. All the motherfuckers that travel back and forth. And poor Rachel, I mean, what they even doing with her now? She was the reason why I read Excalibur back in the day.
Well, I don't see how Rachel can exist since Scott and Jean never had a child. But anyway, so the Apocalypse poster. I hope Apocalypse is done right in the movies, because one, why is Apocalypse white? I gotta ask that.
No. He's an albino. There, that's my lazy explanation.
Well, he should be the darker skinned Egyptian, but I mean that's a whole different.
I mean,
thing.
They got a good actor for him, so that, you know.
I mean, well, they got it. They got The Rock playing Black Adam. You can't get everything you want.
Well, you know, Black Adam is an Egyptian too.
Yeah, Black
Adam doesn't
yeah.
walk like an Egyptian though.
But I still can't believe they're doing a movie that has to do with Apocalypse, and there's no freaking Cable in this movie.
Look, the same reason why they didn't put the same reason why they didn't put Rachel in Days of Future Past, because she should have been the one Kitty had it. I don't think they want to deal with those time travelers like that.
Well, yeah, they already just did a time travel movie.
Yeah, but they use but they gotta explain it.
They couldn't. They wouldn't have been able to explain Rachel's existence, that both Scott and Jean is dead in that timeline.
I mean, if that's the case, how come we only saw Bishop in the future? They never showed Bishop in the past.
Bishop is from the future.
I know he in the future, but how come we never saw him come from the future to the past?
He just never had the chance. Wolverine.
That's what I don't know. I don't think they want to deal with any time frame. They found a perfect person in Wolverine, and they used his mutant ability to say that's how he was able to get back. And I don't think they want to deal with that with anybody else. Because then they got to think of, I mean, because if you think about it, they're like, okay, well, this person went back. We can start sending anybody back. And they made it seem like in this last movie that Wolverine was the only one capable of going back.
Well, because there was only three of them alive that could travel back into their younger self. And, well, Xavier, his mind is too powerful to do it.
No, before they did it, it was Xavier, Magneto, Wolverine, Storm, Iceman.
No. Storm. Okay, Storm wasn't
Nothing
around.
Had died yet.
In the '70s.
Huh?
See, you gotta remember, Days of Future Past took place in the '70s. So you had to go with characters that was around, that was alive. Now Hank McCoy Hank McCoy and Mystique wasn't in the future. They might have been already dead.
Yeah.
So the only those three.
We don't know their. Well, he told Hank McCoy that he didn't make it.
Right, because most of the mutants are dead at this in the future of that movie.
Well, we don't know how far in the future it was. One.
It was 50 years. They said 50 years.
All right, so it was 50 years in the future, and Storm still looked like that.
Hey, well, you know.
That's what I'm saying. Like, and the fact that they changed Kitty Pryde's power. How do we know that they didn't change other stuff to these characters?
They didn't change her power. She just had to.
They did. She never had that power before.
No, they said she developed it. But anyway.
Yeah, well, what should be the next story?
I ain't saying nothing else. I'm mute.
Okay. Surfer, do you want to talk about Grimm so we can just. Let's talk about your shows. Grimm and Once Upon a Time. Yeah.
What the fuck is Grimm? I need to watch this, because I hear you talk about this shit. Every time I go on Facebook, I see you watching Grimm.
Yeah, Surfer, talk about what's up with Grimm at San Diego.
Well, they just talk about what's coming up with Season 5, and they basically showed a recap video of the first four seasons and the shit he's went through. So I'm going to try to make this quick.
Okay.
Grimm is this character who can see these mythical creatures called Vessen. And what they are like you know, you've heard these fairy tales. Well, they're based on truth. So, like, the Big Bad Wolf, there are people that actually are, like, wolf-like creatures, but most humans can't see them. This guy being a Grimm can. But the twist is, to all these mythical creatures, the Grimm is the boogeyman. Because they've all been told that he will chop your head off, because that's what Grimms did in the past.
So, and he's Grimm?
Yeah, but he's also a cop. So he's like the first Grimm that's not inclined to go chop somebody's head off. And so, like, he lives in Portland, and it seemed like this fucking...
Every fucking thing is in Portland.
Because there's Vessin everywhere in Portland. It's like that. It's just like this... Like all these European creatures moved to Portland for some reason.
No, I mean, every fucking movie, vampires, werewolves, and shit, is always in...
Because there's lots of woods. Lots of woods.
It's either Washington or Oregon. I'm not watching Grimm. I'm watching Sense8. It's too confusing.
It's lots of...
Watch Fringe.
It's lots of woods out there. But anyway, so... you know... Season 5 is going to be awesome.
Nine fucking seasons.
All right. What about Season 5, Surfer, of Once Upon a Time?
Well, you know, Once Upon a Time brings in every Disney fairy tale character you could think of. Last season brought in
Sounds like Fables.
Right. It that's what they did.
And there was some controversy around the same time. Stole that shit.
Tell it like it is.
Listen. Yeah, right. People tried to pitch Fables, and ABC said, no, we're past. And they said, well, we don't need to do that. We have these characters in house. Let's just do our own shit. That's what they did.
Right.
And the last year they had
yeah, who's the show by?
ABC. Oh, creators.
What's ABC's parent company? I mean, how
Disney?
This is Disney. Fucking Disney that did this?
Yeah.
So Marvel stole from DC. Then is basically what it is.
Not Marvel, but Disney.
Vertigo.
Vertigo is DC. Right. It's all under Warner Brothers.
So last year, the big thing was that the Frozen character showed up. So this season coming up, the girl from Brave is going to be one of the characters that's going to show
Merida.
Up.
Merida.
Yes.
That's bullshit. That is pure D bullshit.
To me, what keeps me watching the show is when they go into these people's backstories. That's why I find the most interesting thing.
No, you only defended it because it's Marvel.
No, Marvel has nothing to do with it. They have not brought in one Marvel character. You know, they've shown comic books on there, but no, Marvel ain't Black Widow ain't showing up no time soon, or the Hulk. So, but you know, if Disney made it into a fairy tale, it's fair game to them. So you get their version of the Seven Dwarfs, Doc and Sleepy and all them.
Did they have a girl from Princess and the Frog on there?
I think they did one episode.
No, they did.
I think they did.
What's her name, Tiana or something? I bet you she wasn't on there.
They did. Oh. They didn't do the frog story, but they had her on there.
Oh, let me see. What's it called? Once Upon a Time?
Yes.
What? Anyway, Merida is joining Once Upon a Time, so fans of Brave, rejoice! One last panel on movies and such, since it was brought up in the chat room by...
Hello, chat.
Matt Elchin asked about Warcraft.
Echelon.
Yeah, there was several panel moves today, in Hall H, after all the big hoopla, Warner Brothers. There was The Hateful Eight, to Quentin Tarantino's upcoming Western movie.
You know what? I'm not a big Tarantino fan. I don't know how people think he's a genius.
Tarantino's a good filmmaker. His scripts can often...
He needs to stop with that word. I mean, he just finds any excuse to write it and have
antiquing.
What?
Antiquing, is that the word?
No, you know what word I'm talking about.
Oh, crispacho.
Yeah. Okay. You know better.
I know what word you're talking about. I know. I've seen Django Unchained. Twice.
You know what? I have not.
That's different than what Spike Lee has done in some movies, and they try to and they will give Spike Lee the blues and act like Quentin Tarantino putting out some of the best shit.
Quentin,
You know,
because Quentin Tarantino's making more good movies than Spike Lee is right now. I don't know.
Yeah, because Quentin Tarantino wasn't fucking doing shit when Spike Lee was making movies back in the day.
Yeah, okay, but Hateful Eight, there was footage shown, but also the real big news is that legendary composer Ennio Morricone is going to be doing the score. You don't know who the hell he is? He's the man that composed the theme for The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. He has scored so many of the best Western movies. So if you don't know who he is, man, I probably don't want to know you in my life right now. You are not...
He did Good, Bad, and Ugly and The Fistful of Dollars.
Yo, all the Man with a No Name trilogy. And if you haven't seen the Man with a No Name trilogy, Fistful of Dollars, The Good, Bad, and the Ugly, and a few dollars more, you have made some huge mistakes in your life, and you need to go change that right now!
That was initiation in my house. My father sat me down and made me watch that shit.
Your father is a good goddamn man for doing that.
Eli Wallach and fucking shit.
Damn right. That's what then afterwards...
But you know what? All those Westerns Clint Eastwood did, that's not his... None of it is his best Western.
Unforgiven?
Yes, Unforgiven, without
a doubt. Morricone also scored.
Now, what'd you say, Lee?
I said, but prior to that, they didn't have Unforgiven. Unforgiven came out so many years later. It was good. And the thing was that around the time, what year did Unforgiven come out? Like
1992.
It was later.
92.
You know what makes Unforgiven such a good movie? It exposed that there was no good guys or bad guys out in the West. They was all fucking killers.
All of them. Which you like better, Unforgiven?
The Good, Bad, the Ugly is my favorite Western ever, although Unforgiven is a damn close second, I'm not going to lie.
I love Unforgiven too, but the fact of once I saw Good, Bad, and Ugly, and that shit was just...
You know, Lee,
it's
a hell of a thing to kill a man. Take away everything he is, ever was, ever will be.
You know what, the one, out of that whole trilogy, the one scene that had me rolling as a child, I'll never forget, was when... That little Asian dude walked into Clint Eastwood's room and stuff. Remember he just walked in there and started packing his shit up. That was
so good. Oh my god, that was so good.
That shit was fucking hilarious.
All right, I want to talk to you about this, but after the Hateful Eight, Legendary Pictures had its presentation. Legendary Pictures becoming a big name lately, thanks to its co-production on the Christopher Nolan Batman trilogy, as well as films like Godzilla and Pacific Rim.
But they're no longer with Warner Brothers.
Oh, yeah. But now they're with Universal. Although they're still going to make Pacific Rim 2. Anyway, Legendary's presentation kicked off with Crimson Peak. Crimson Peak being the upcoming period piece, Victorian-era horror film written and directed by Guillermo del Toro. In attendance was del Toro with Mia Wasikowska, Tom Hiddleston, and Jessica Chastain. Del Toro was saying this is more like a lavish gothic romance. He feels like the script is gender liberated. He said, "It's our duty to make these great genres and great forms and retell them a little." And the movie's set for release on October 16th. They had a lively crowd. They talked with them. They showed genuine enthusiasm for the movie. I'm excited for it. Afterwards was Krampus, which is a movie based on a character from German folklore who comes after bad children around the Christmas holidays. And it is said to begin like a classic John Hughes movie. Family gathered around the tree opening presents.
They did Krampus on Grimm.
Good nature squabbling among siblings, a mom and dad happy for everyone at home. And then Krampus arrives and everything gets ruined.
They did Krampus on Grimm, so.
Oh, I did not know that. The movie is being directed by Michael Daugherty and will be starring Adam Scott and Toni Collette.
Oh, poor Adam Scott. He did that movie The Overnight where he exposed himself. And I'm sorry. I wouldn't have done it.
Yeah, hey, if you got good, show them off. But hey, I'm glad he's getting to work after Parks and Recreation. And the final movie, the one Matt wanted to know about, was Warcraft, the upcoming World of Warcraft.
They finally got something to show in that movie?
Adaptation, which is starring Travis Fimmel, Paula Patton, and being directed by David Bowie's son, Duncan Jones. They really didn't have... They had some things to talk about the movie, but mostly they were showing off character posters for Fimmel's Alduin Lothar and half-human, half-orc Ganora Halfricorn. The movie is still set to release on June 2016. And...
Shane, call back in.
Yeah. That's that. There, we got the Warcraft. Matt, I hope you're happy. I'm not a Warcraft fan. Never played it. Never.
So, Warcraft. That's the Mr. T game, right?
No, that's World of Warcraft.
Oh, okay. Are they two different things?
Yeah, very, very different things.
Oh, okay. See, I don't know that.
Yeah. We're gonna move to comic books real quick because there are some books that were announced. We're going to start with G.I. Joe.
Cobra!
Yo, Joe. By the way,
Let me guess. Written by Larry Hama.
Holy shit, you're right. Larry Hama.
He writes every fucking... He's been writing G.I. Joe for the last 30 fucking
years.
Well,
get ready for this, Matt. Larry Hama's bringing Cobra World Order to G.I. Joe. For the past several years, Hasbro's G.I. Joe expanded and evolved over many comic titles at IDW Publishing, but there will be a new event in October. An 8-part bi-weekly storyline will arrive in G.I. Joe, A Real American Hero, where Hama will tell the story of the Cobra World Order. Joining Hama will be cover artist Paul Pope, Francesco Francavilla, Phil Jimenez, and Stephen Mooney. And this is from the official press release. This October, it's Zero Hour for A Real American Hero. G.I. Joe's been fighting the evil forces of Cobra for decades, but now Cobra is ready to unleash his master plan on an unsuspecting G.I. Joe. Written by the man who started it all, G.I. Joe comics legend Larry Hama, this table setter set leads into a mammoth 8-part bi-weekly event kicking off in G.I. Joe, A Real American Hero, number 219 and number 220. Art duties of this arc will be in the very capable hands of L.S. Gallant, who has been a fan favorite for all his attention to detail and accurate portrayals of classic G.I. Joe characters and vehicles. Basically, let's see. Cobra's going to be taking over the world, people.
Cobra, la 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 la.
Cobra is finally going to get off its ass and put its plan in the motion.
You know, the Cobra Commander won't be retreating this time.
No, he won't!
Retreat! You know what? They should do the Cobra the way they did it in that Was it Warren Ellis who wrote that?
G.I. Joe
movie?
No, oh, yeah, that animated short movie? Yeah.
No, it wasn't a short. It was a full-length movie.
Okay, yeah, that was...
Some reason I didn't see it. When did it come out?
Oh, it came out, what, 5-6 years ago?
Wait, yeah. That was Warren Ellis.
Oh, you gotta
watch. Can I watch it on YouTube, maybe? Let me see.
Yes.
I mean, it really showed Cobra Commander to be a badass. The 80s is making a comeback. You know, G.I. Joe.
Rom the Space Knight.
Rom the Space Knights. Micronauts. What do you think about Rom coming back? Did you read Rom back in the day, Lee?
I did, and the Micronauts. But I heard that Marvel's making, like, Venom's going to be the Space Knight, and they're making their own...
Yeah, they're doing well.
Their own sort of thing.
Well, you know, like I said, Marvel created the mythology around the Rom character. They just didn't create Rom himself. So,
but they got all the they have all the supporting characters.
Oh,
right?
Man, every time I turn away, Shane calls. He's doing that on purpose.
No, Marvel's doing its own thing with Venomous Space Knight. No further details have been given other than who the creative team is when the book debuts in the fall, along with the majority of all the other all new, all different Marvel books.
They fight for freedom wherever there's trouble.
G.I. Joe is there. You know who also is at the helm of comic books? Joss Whedon.
Did you like the old G.I. Joe cartoon? The one that was like straight up like...
Yeah, that was okay.
Like the Dick ones? Oh, I'm sorry, the Deke ones.
The original ones were okay. I'll be honest.
The original ones was just a 20-minute toy commercial.
I've been more of a Cobra man. Cobra seems to have their shit together.
No, they don't, because Cobra Commander would always fucking have tantrums and lose his shit, and they all...
Hey, Cobra Commander is a man that likes to freely express his emotions, and I appreciate that. Destro's cool. I will hear none of her. I will hear no country
who Destro. Zaymot, the Baroness, and fucking Zartan.
Okay. But Baroness, tell me you wouldn't want to get with the Baroness.
I would fuck the shit out of her ass.
She would, you know, that's a girl you get into bed with, you're going to do some very freaky experimentation. You may find things you really like. I'm just going to say that right now.
We got Shane on the line. What's up, Shane?
That was a perfect time for
the What's up, sugar?
Hey, Shane.
Hey, how you guys doing, man?
Okay, would you fuck the Baroness in a very experimental bedroom session?
I would, 50 Shades of Grey.
Yeah. You know what? Listen. She sleeps with a man who has a permanent metal mask on his face. So you got to probably be rough with this chick.
It ain't permanent.
Yes, it is.
No, it ain't.
No.
That doesn't come off.
Something tells me she's
real. It's come off before. In the comics, it has. I don't know about on the TV show or the movies, but in the comics, that shit's come off.
Oh, I didn't know they took it off in the comics.
They even changed the colors a couple of times.
Uh-huh.
It was gold once, then it was gold. Remember when it was gold?
Yeah, I remember the gold one.
Well,
you know what? In the cartoon, I would have swore Destro was black. I mean, he had those thick lips and all under that mask.
They pulled. I know, didn't he? He had the
He had the deep voice.
For real, yo. He looked like he was straight up.
Look, I'm just saying, G.I. Joe may be more successful, but, you know, when it comes to strategy, planning, you know, I gotta give an edge to Cobra. They really figured their shit out. Sure,
they might not have no organization. The fish starts thinking from the head. Their leader was corrupt.
Okay, Lee, I'm gonna let you in on a secret. Maybe I'm doing a comedy bit. I don't know what the fuck I'm doing.
Oh, I get it. Do it again.
Okay, look, I do like Cobra. They're a fascinating organization to me, but yeah, G.I. Joe is always going to be on top. They're top shit.
I'm looking up there.
But yeah, no, I'm looking forward to G.I. Joe.
I'm waiting for the Cobra.
Shit, where's my loot?
I'm waiting for the Cobra Hydra team up.
I was just about to say that.
No, go ahead. That was my back acting up. I was reacting to that. Go.
I think that'd be pretty crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Although they'd get a dick measuring contest about whose army.
Well, that would be the thing. Yeah. They would start fighting over who's going to take over the world.
Exactly. Again, they get a dick measuring contest right away.
Yeah. It would be
Who had a fatter ass in the cartoons? Baroness or Rogue from X-Men?
Baroness.
Oh, I see Rogue.
Yo, I love Rogue, but...
I'm talking about from the cartoon, Jordan. From the
90s cartoon.
That bitch is fine, dude.
I'm still going to say Baroness because, man, black latex is really shows off the features very well. I'm just going to say that. And speaking of black latex or black costumes on women, that is a terrible segue to Joss Whedon's new comic book. The woman's wearing a black costume. Anyway, Joss Whedon has a new comic book. It's called Twist. It's being done by Dark Horse Comics. At his one-on-one panel, Joss Whedon announced he's going to have a new creator-owned 6-issue miniseries with Dark Horse Comics called Twist. And it's being described as a Victorian female Batman. It came via Entertainment Weekly. The art will be by Julian Tenito Tedesco with a logo by Nate Picos. That's the best I'm going to do with these fucking names. I'm looking forward to it.
I'm not. This is Victorian shit.
I'm a Whedon fan, so anything new by him, or just anything at all, but certainly anything new is gonna pique my fancy.
But that Victorian shit is just played out as a zombie.
I don't mind Whedon. I just think he thinks he's all high and mighty.
He does now.
You know? Like for real, like I don't know.
Well, Shane, he does since
like you guys are talking about Quentin Tarantino. Like I really like Quentin Tarantino, but I think he's thinking that as soon as
like he's hot shit.
Yeah.
You know, like he can never fuck up. He got that.
Yeah,
that's how Shalalalamin thought when he did Six Sense.
Shalalalamin, like, yeah.
I mean,
why are you making fun of Midnight?
Okay.
Cause he's a terrible filmmaker.
Oh my, come on, man! Midnight is from this area. Leave him alone, okay?
Okay, you cannot let hometown pride get in your way. If I did, then I would be praising my country as a politician. But, you know, I'm from Arkansas, so fuck my country.
Look, man, he made Mark Wahlberg scared of plants. Okay? So,
I thought he was scared of the wind. Wasn't it the wind?
No, did you not see that
was the plants that was killing people.
That scene in The Shining where he was talking to that plastic plant, that was the best thing about that terrible movie.
Wait, let me go back for a second. Shane, you said
go ahead.
Okay, what you said about Tarantino? You talking about what's his name? Joss Whedon. Okay, so I don't have a problem with him because he has contributed a lot of great stuff. But I do agree with some people because let's not forget he did do that first Buffy movie. Let's not act like that never took place.
Oh, that was a terrible movie. That movie was bad.
That's a guilty pleasure.
And Alien Resurrection was terrible.
Her doing those handsprings, oh god!
You know why? Because I like Chris Swanson.
Chris Swanson. That, man.
Okay. Yeah. Well,
still look good.
We're joined by Dr. J now.
No, we not.
Yes, he is. He's on the line now.
So, Dr. J, we're talking Whedon's new comic, Twist, which is featuring a female Victorian Batman. How do you feel?
I don't like it.
Oh my god! Dr. J in like 3 years, yo! What? Oh my god! And Surfer was like, oh, we just got Dr. J. Yo, this is like fifth star last week, and now Dr. J? What the fuck?
Well, okay, I was...
What up?
Well, hey, you're just in time, because there's another comic crossover event I wanted to talk about. Vader Down is coming from Marvel Comics. It's nearing the end of its first year of Star Wars publishing.
They're going to milk every tit on that Star Wars cow they can.
You goddamn right, sir.
Watch Chewbacca or C-3PO get a book. Watch.
We talked about Chewbacca yesterday.
Chewbacca's getting his own comic book.
He's a Chewbacca. He's got to get back to his family for life day.
Surfer. Okay, look. It was announced today at Joe Quesada's Cup of Joe panel. There will be a six-issue event called Vader Down. That will start with an oversized one-shot before continuing in the ongoing issues of the ongoing Star Wars and Darth Vader books. Darth Vader writers Jason Aaron and Kieran Gillen will be co-writing the story, and this will be illustrated by Darth Vader artist Salvador Lacro and Marvin veteran Mike Diodato, with Matt Mark Brooks illustrating the events. According to the details, the story sets Darth Vader on his own as he's crash-landed and up against the forces of the Rebel Alliance. Along with Vader, fellow Star Wars headliners, Luke Skywalker, Princess Leia, Han Solo, and Chewbacca are mentioned as playing a part in Vader Down, along with the newly introduced Aphra, who was introduced back in Darth Vader number 3. Vader Down number 1 is set to release this November.
Oh, snap. Hold on, I don't need to... Wesley Snipes got a TV show coming on NBC this fall?
Yeah. Yes, The Player.
Yo, Wesley, bring him back to Chocolate Brothers.
Who is he supposed to be, Bobby Rayburn or something?
I don't know.
I don't.
You know, let's see if he pulls off getting Blade back on the air, on screen or not.
You know, there was an interview done about that.
Let's get someone else.
Hold on. What'd you say, Shane?
I said there was an interview done with him about possibly playing Blade again.
Well, this time, do a Netflix series. I mean, because listen,
no, but they did it. They did a series. It was a shitty Sticky Fingers one.
You know what? I like that series. Okay, listen. I'm not saying it was great. I like the concept of it, where you had Blade, he had his little guy, and they was working on bringing down one little vampire house. Okay, and it wasn't like he's, you know, trying to take on the world at one time. And it was interesting that it was an interesting concept. And I was looking forward to season now. Yeah, you can criticize about Sticky Fingers playing the role. I'm not gonna fight you on that. But if they take that concept and use it in Netflix and put Wesley in there, I think it can blow up.
Or old. You know, I granted, I know
he may be old, but he don't look it.
He looks old.
That
no, he doesn't. Did
I
you
saw
see?
Him in the Expendables 3.
He didn't look old at all.
Yes, he did.
What's old?
Also, Dr. J is.
Hold on. What's old to you?
He actually saw Expendables 3. What's so old? Let's take that to a fact.
What's old? How old do you look to you?
Like 60.
Bullshit.
How old is he?
He's got to be in his 50s, though, sir.
He's probably in his 50s, but he didn't look.
I
in
will
his 60s.
Look it up.
But like we were saying about like you know Blade, I would like to see. You know, because they did it in The Amazing Spider-Man, the TV show, you know, the kids show. I would like to see maybe a Punisher and Blade crossover.
Well,
have a film, maybe, or like you said, TV show.
53.
Punisher and Blade wouldn't mesh because Blade is single-minded about going at the vampires, and Punisher, he's single-minded about taking out
all crime,
taking out criminals. So.
He's making a movie called Chirac, I guess it's about Chicago.
And that's another thing, too. You know, there's been all these movies about,
Are you getting that, Lee? Are you going to order that, Lee?
What?
I was talking to Lee. He might not be back yet.
But like I was saying, there's been all these movies, with all
types you put that up, Dr. J. Are you ordering that?
I might.
Oh, okay.
It's really nice, right?
Yeah, it's nice.
If I get it for $155, I'll buy it.
Earlier, like yesterday, we announced that there was rumors going about that Milestone Comics would be coming back to DC, would be coming back via DC Comics. Well, I'm here to say. It is official. Milestone is coming back. Is going to be designated as Earth-M in the DC Comics Masterverse. I'm going to shut off my iPod right now. DC announced today that the Cody Universe characters such as Static Shock, Icon, and Hardware are returning to DC as residents of Earth-M. New projects are on the way from Milestone co-founder Dennis Cohen, Reginald Hudlund, Jeff Johns, and Jim Lee.
Yeah, I don't trust DC to put any real effort behind. They'll put half hearted effort, but I don't think they're going to try to make it work.
No,
nah,
this
long
is different, server. See, DC never owned the Milestone characters, and with this, they're just publishing it like they did in '93. They're not They're not going to be like they did when they did New 52 and they was actually putting shit out.
Like the Static Shock series in New 52?
Yeah, that's why.
I kind of like that Static Shock series in New 52. I was sad it got canceled.
I was disappointed because I wanted something.
I found it okay. I mean, it wasn't as good as like the original Dwayne McDuffie book, but.
Editorial screwed that up because the guy they had writing.
Oh yeah, DC editorial fucked so much up.
Well, they put him with another writer, and then after that happened, they blamed the whole thing on him when the shit flopped. But with this one, since they could keep isolated to the Codaverse, and it helped them tell their own
that
story.
That Static Shock should have been on the level of Ultimate Spider-Man. I mean,
hell yeah, it should. I wanted to bring Blood Syndicate back, but I bet you they won't. That was the book right there.
That was it. Really was.
Well, I will just say real quick, for those that might not know what Milestone is, Milestone Media was founded back in 1993 by Cohen, Dingle, Michael Davis, and the late, great Dwayne McDuffie, with the goal of promoting diversity in the comics industry.
Well, you know, and Chris Cross.
Yes, for both its Christopher Priest, and for both its creators and its characters, with an emphasis on social issues. I personally thought Milestone Comics was great. They were wonderful, but they were falling into DC. DC gave them a shot. You know, some stuff worked. Of course, you know, we got Static Shock out of it. Static Shock being one of the best characters out there.
Milestone lasted for a while. I mean, they were...
Oh, no, they did.
They have over 300-some comics they released.
Oh, they did. They did.
I mean, if back then, during that time, I mean, they had... They were right down the street from Valiant. I mean,
yeah.
Well, you know what book I'm looking forward to?
And what?
It's responsible for Milestone even being thought of in the first place.
What?
Brother Man.
They bringing that back?
Oh, yeah. They doing a graphic novel.
Holy shit.
It's going to be in color?
We said, yeah, it's going to be in color.
Wow.
They had a Kickstarter
thing earlier before this the year? Book.
Yeah.
Did you contribute, server?
No, because I'd rather just buy the book.
See, you knew the answer to that, Shane.
No. No.
Cheap bastard.
I would tell
you, listen, cheap bastard you're talking.
No.
I don't think server.
No, I would tell you why I didn't. Okay, I wanted to get a copy of the book. Then the only way to get the copy of the book was $40 and up. I'd rather just spend the $20 and get a copy of the book.
He still ain't gonna buy. He's gonna stand up at a comic book store and read it.
No, I'm gonna buy the book. I got every issue of Brother Man.
It'll go on clearance, and then it'll have a 50%
No.
I had an opportunity to get every issue they had at a yard sale.
I've interviewed the creators and everything, and you know, I've always been. That, you know, Big City Comics. That's my shot. That's what started the whole black comic book revolution back in the 90s. So when that comes out, trust me, I'll have a copy. Because I've been waiting for them to finish that story for a long time.
Well, I want to know why Michael Davis not involved in this whole thing with Milestone. And you know, he the most vocal one.
Damn right.
Shane, you know they talking shit, especially on Bleed Cool. I'm telling you, he is not a part of this. He the one that created. He did Static. That's his baby.
He talks so much shit he could put like a porta potty to shame.
My one regret is that Dwayne McDuffie isn't around to help out with this. That's
true.
Well, the thing is, Dwayne McDuffie, he did a lot of stuff with you know, other Justice areas League. Like the Ben 10 and Justice League and all that stuff.
And Fantastic Four. If you haven't read Dwayne McDuffie's Fantastic Four, please do, people.
They tied his hands when it came time for him to do that Justice League of America comic book. They let Grant Morrison do what the fuck he wanted when he wrote it. But when Dwayne McDuffie did it, they were like, oh, you can't use him, can't use him, oh, you can use him, can't use him. But what I'm saying is that Dwayne McDuffie was the one who was, like, pretty much the face of it. But them other dudes, like I said, Michael Davis, as batshit crazy as he sounds, that whole Static character is based off of his life.
Yeah.
I think Dwayne had, what, Icon?
Yeah, I think so.
Somebody Dennis eating? Did. Surfer, Dennis, are you Dennis? Eating?
No.
I'm not. I had to get my cereal, sorry.
Oh.
Don't miss shit!
Yo, is it Fruity Pebbles? Is it John Cena approved Fruity Pebbles?
Sorry, get to the... Let's move on to that Marvel news.
Marvel news.
Did you talk about like the trailer that I thought? Like,
yeah, that was the top of the show, man.
Oh man, I guess I'm just late. All right.
Well, no, hold on.
Real quick opinions. Go.
No, it's okay.
Jordan, just relax. We're letting people talk. It's about the people.
I was telling him to go.
He doesn't have to be quick. Go ahead, Dr. J. What's your thoughts on the Batman v Superman trailer?
I'd like jizz my pants.
You nasty man. You know what, man? I can't trust you no more.
Oh, really? And we're clean people here.
A few days ago. Didn't I say I was nervous? Mm-hmm. Right? Still nervous about it. And I don't like Superman after the first five times, but like this trailer was so badass. I was just like, oh my god.
So what did you? You like the fact that they you know they're trying to hold him responsible for Metropolis getting fucked up?
Yeah.
Okay, it's probably some corrupt politicians working under Luthor, obviously, right? That's what I'm thinking. That's why they're doing this against him. It's just like most of society. Most people are for something, and another group is against something. And then there's this other. They're doing like this conspiracy thing with these groups of people that are supposedly Superman followers, and Batman's batshit crazy because Robin died, and that is so cool. They showed Robin's costume, and the Joker's spray paint's still on it. He didn't touch it. You know, ha ha ha. The joke's on you. And I was just like, oh god, it was beautiful. And the sickest scene is the scene where Batman's on the wall, and all of a sudden you see him take out his grappling gun, shoot, and like fucking and misses the.
Hello.
Side Squad trailer.
You zonked out for a second.
Oh, well, I said the coolest part was when Superman uses a heat vision and Batman got out of it with the grappling gun in like 2 seconds.
You know, everybody thinks that in a fight that Batman can beat Superman. You watch that cartoon or read the book. Superman was fucking weak from stopping a nuclear warhead. And that Batman knew that when he took him on. So
no, he did. The nuclear warhead happened like a few, a little bit prior to that. But still, he wasn't.
Yes, he was. He wasn't fully recovered from stopping that nuclear warhead.
But the thing was, he was holding back. If you read it, he was holding back. And on top of that, I'm gonna tell you who can beat both Superman and Batman, because she beat both of them in Wonder Woman.
What? Yeah,
she beat both of them clean.
Maybe that's why she's in the movie, and they show those fucking ill scenes with her, too. I was like, "Yo, she's hot as Wonder
Woman." I'm enough guy. I can show you where Batman was talking some shit. She's like, "You can try if you want to," and he tried to lay his hands on her, and she put her foot on his face and said, "Stay down,
stay down."
And bitch, and Bruce ain't moved, intentionally playing my ass. So I hope you hear that, William.
Well, I would assume she would be stronger. She faces gods. You know, she battles against God.
But they all mythological.
I mean,
if you think about it, Shazam and Black Adam should be able to handle Superman no problem with their magic. But for some reason,
yeah, that's true.
They only use that rule when they want to use it.
Yeah, that's what hurts Superman sometimes. It's his invulnerability to a lot of
Dr. J. You know what it is? Them giving him just fucking random powers just because they feel like it. Like in the Superman movies where he had telekinesis and he was building bridges with his thoughts.
Oh, and he could take his ass off and throw it.
That was still stupid.
When he moved the fucking moon in front of the sun.
Oh, he reverses the earth. He goes back in time. Well, it would have been okay if he ran, but...
But he was fucking bitches and mind wiping them. How about that?
Yeah. Hey, listen, don't...
Mind wiping them with kisses, though.
Don't... When you watch the Donner cut to Superman 2, you realize that the version we got in the theater was not...
I ain't talking about Superman 2. I'm talking about Superman 3 where he fucked that woman. Come on. And then she was like, honey, hi, honey. He was like, sorry, ma'am, I don't know you. And she was like, the other no.
Come on. I liked...
You was just a side piece, you know that.
Come on, that's drunk Superman.
No, but like, from what I saw in the trailer, I like the fact that they showed Superman, you know, as Clark Kent.
Yeah.
They showed and him as, somehow, you know.
Somehow the editor-in-chief of the Daily Planet still doesn't know that he's Superman.
Okay, yeah, guys, say this. It's a different... I'm not going to even go into this. I'm not going to go into the logistical reasons to how Clark Kent is able to hide his identity.
I would understand, to normal people, like everyday people, they wouldn't believe that this person is the god among them. Yes. But to people he works with...
Different mannerisms, different how he different.
No,
how
it had nothing to do with that.
It's Christopher Reeve
used to slouch and make himself like a dude.
That's the character. That's the character.
But this guy doesn't do that. He doesn't do that. And on top of that, either he's a master of disguise or we all need the glasses.
Yeah. Lawrence Fishburne told him straight up.
George,
he's not gonna fucking follow that.
George,
by the way, Lawrence Fishburne, this is why you get your ass kicked by Hannibal.
Real quick, George Reeves didn't slouch either as Clark Kent, but
the reason they gave it a comic book surfer was they claim that the reason why in the comic book when Clark used to put on his glasses, it would make him look like a different person.
Yeah.
So when people saw him, he like an old man or some shit.
Yeah, they said it was like some like magic on his glasses.
Yeah, some magic glasses he had. And when he put them, that was the original story for his glasses.
Yeah.
So when he put the glasses on, he looked nothing like he did.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well.
Huh.
What's the next story, Jordan Cobb?
Yeah, going to Marvel.
Yeah, the cartoons. Jordan's taking care of the dog.
he just ditched you.
Well, no.
And I don't know how everyone went crazy for the Joker in Suicide Squad trailer. I know it's a bad trailer; you don't get a really good view of it. But that looked like shit, and I still don't like that movie.
You know, Suicide Squad. You know, it's cool seeing that there's these many actors in it, and they're portraying all these different types of characters. You know.
Yeah.
But I tend to think, what the hell?
It's a dog barking in the background. Go ahead.
I tend to think that, there's no one that's going to have equal screen time as someone else.
Shit, Will Smith.
You fucking know it, man. There's no way Jared Leto.
William, do you mind if we take a few extra minutes or what? That's him in the chat room, right?
We only got a few stories left to get to.
I know, but I'm saying, like, you know, it's almost 11, so.
Yeah, I know. Okay, well, I just want to get to the next story real quick.
Let us know in the chat room, Mr. Morgan.
Please let us know. There are a couple more DC books announced. Grant Morrison will be doing The Multiversity 2. Yes, Grant Morrison is staying in the Multiversity and is going to be starting out with The Multiversity 2, The Flash. But from which Earth will be anyone's guess. And there will be Batman Black and White original graphic novels. Not a new ongoing anthology series, but original graphic novels of Batman tales told in black and white art. Also, with Grant Morrison's involvement, who says there will be a Batman of Zurin R story, which means he's going to do a lot of drugs and write that.
Zurin R. Okay.
What I do not like Batman Zurin R. That shit is stupid.
Why not? He's cool with Batmite.
Batmite's stupid.
Batcow's stupid.
Batmite
was fine.
Batcow's awesome. Shut up.
Batcow's
stupid. Batmite is fine. Batmite is no different.
Batmite is stupid. Batcow is awesome.
Hey, don't put down the Batmite now, okay?
The only time Batmite worked was on the Brave and the Bold cartoon when he was voiced by Paul Rubens.
Nah, he was cool in the 70s cartoon.
No, he wasn't.
He was so.
Batmite sucks.
He don't understand Batmite.
I understand Batmite. I don't like Batmite because I understand Batmite.
And me too, Batmite.
Batmite is no different than Deadpool. He just to break the fourth wall and shit.
Except Deadpool's funnier. Batmite's annoying as shit.
Oh, gosh.
Batmite's annoying. Deadpool's a funny character.
Batmite remind me of you.
Well, fuck you too. that's the worst insult to me. You can call me an asshole or anything. Just don't call me Batmite. That's
we're just going for the jugular around here, aren't we?
Batmite, the fact that you try to, you know what? You probably side with Spider-Ham over Batmite, wouldn't you?
Sometimes depends on how he's written. Look, honestly, I've never enjoyed Batmite. Batmite to me is like, what's the thing? The Great Gazoo. Just an annoying.
Don't put down the Great Gazoo now.
You know what? Great Gazoo sucks. I'm saying it right now.
Oh my god! You know what? I can't do this with him. You gonna keep on fucking with them people from that dimension, and they gonna get your ass.
No, I want you to bring up the Marvel cartoons.
No, I'm gonna do that. But I will stand. But look, I will stand by what I just said about Batmite and the Great Gazoo. Come after me, internet. I don't give a shit. But anyway, yes, Marvel Animation's gonna see some very big fan favorite characters coming to them. We got Miss Marvel. We got Black Panther. We got the Inhumans coming to Avengers. Assemble, which will be known as Avengers Ultron Revolution in this upcoming season. The Inhumans will include Karnak, Crystal, Lash, Medusa, Triton, Maximus, and of course, King of them all, Black Bolt. Miss Marvel, Captain Marvel, Black Panther will also be joining them. Kang and Vision will also be appearing in the upcoming seasons, and in addition, for Ultimate Spider-Man, which is going to be retitled Ultimate Spider-Man vs. Sinister Six, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. stars Ian the Castucker and Elizabeth Henstridge will be reprising their roles as Agents Fitz and Simmons. And that's still not going to get me to watch Ultimate Spider-Man.
It did the Spider-Verse. That wasn't a bad series when they did that.
That's still the Ultimate Spider-Man
cartoon. And Spider-Ham showed up on Ultimate Spider-Man. And Miles Morales.
Spider-Ham.
I like
Peter Porker.
Yeah, Peter Porker. Peter fucking Porker.
Fucking Babe.
That'll do.
Did Wim ever say anything in the chat room?
He has not. Maybe you could message him on Facebook.
Cause he ain't listening. He signed in it and put the thing down.
And William, you gotta let us know. Let's see. 1, 2, 3. We got five stories left. Five stories. We got trailers. Who likes trailers? You like trailers? I'm gonna give you trailers.
Yeah, I like the trailer.
I do too.
Okay. Well, we know about DC's Vixen, which is a side animated show that's going to be set in the world of on the CWC. It's going to be set in the world of Arrow and the Flash.
They're going to be voicing their characters on the show.
Yes, Vixen will be voiced by Megalyn. I suck at pronouncing your last name. Echignoak. That's the best you're going to get out of me.
It's Echelon.
Echelon. Wait, is it Echelon? Okay, no. Echelon. I apologize. Well, okay, fuck me then. Fuck you too. fuck everybody right now. Fuck you guys. The short form digital animated series, will be debuting in January, based off the character created by Jerry Conway and Bob Ott. It'll also feature Stephen Amell as a Green Arrow, Grant Gustin as the Flash, Emily Bethard as Felicity Smoke, as Cisco Ramon. Vixen will be executive produced by Mark Guggenheim. In a statement, I said, first of all, she represents magic, which is an area we haven't explored on either of the two shows just yet. One thing we're always saying, Flash is very different from Arrow. Arrow is very different from Flash. If Arrow is crime, Flash is science, Vixen is a big magic component. The trailer looks pretty interesting. What does everybody else think?
I haven't watched the trailer yet, because I didn't know it was available until it was time to go on the air, so...
Okay,
I saw it. I let me pull up my inner rage. I find it ridiculous that they would put this shit on a CWC. Ain't nobody watching fucking CWC. They could have did
They're gonna watch Agent CWC Carter. For that.
They could have did like they Marvel did Agent Carter and did a lot. We know they are capable now with that character to do something live action, and the graphics looked okay. It wasn't DC's best. It looked like some of that Marvel animation they used to do back in the day for them. It didn't look good the way I thought it would look, and it was kind of Aeon Flux. Remember that back in the day, how it was kind of like
yeah, Aeon Flux on MTV was awesome.
Yeah, so it was kind of like when they were running like that. But I just feel like, you know, with Vixen is that, you know, this is an opportunity for them to have another lady in a lead role, even if it was like on a smaller series or whatever. And I don't know. CWC, I mean, they couldn't put this on another station that Warner Brother owns. It's what, not even on TV, it's on internet.
Well, I imagine we're going to be making a big push. Again, the show, it doesn't debut until January. Well,
I think the purpose is to get people to start looking at Seed.
Yeah, no.
They need to put more in there than some fucking Vixen.
Well, okay, well, they do have stuff. Like, they have that Veronica Mars sort of meta sequel, You Don't Know Dick.
When last time you watched CWC, Jordan?
Okay, never. You have a fair point, but Thank you. Shut up.
Yes.
she had a nice ass, too.
Wim, this is live. You gonna give us a few minutes to go over the time or what?
Yeah, because we can, you know, because we gotta know if we gotta push some stuff over till tomorrow.
Let's see how long it take him to answer.
Come on, William. We gotta know, man. But okay.
You on the air.
Other trailer that was shown was for Outcast, the upcoming adaptation by Cinemax of Robert Kirkman and who's that artist's name? Paul Azteca's Image/Skybound comic book about Kyle Barnes, a young man who's been plagued by demonic possession all his life, and now with the help of Reverend Anderson, a preacher with his personal demons of his own, Kyle embarks on a journey to find answers and regain the normal life that he has lost. I am a fan of the Outcast comic book, and I think the trailer looks pretty damn good.
It's good, but it won't be better than Gotham.
It's not Gotham, so it's already better than Gotham to me. Yeah, I said it. Shut up.
That was perfect.
But, no, honestly, I say, if you aren't reading Outcast by Image, read it. It's a damn good book. The first trade's out. Go pick it up. Yeah, but it's... Honestly, I find the book very interesting. I like the premise. I'm always fascinated by...
It's slow, though. It's not slow. Just tell them that.
I like that slowness. I like the slow pace of it. I really do, because it lets us get to know the characters very well.
It does. And $2 a pop. Read the trade.
Are you reading Outcast?
Yes.
I think Outcast is a great book, in all honesty. But
I read all Kirkman stuff.
I like the slow burn approach to it. It's very interesting.
Sorry, people, I need to cut this short, but William hasn't answered us, so we're going to have to do the promos and get off the air.
All right. I just want to say thank you to our guests that came on. You guys have helped out a lot. Man, we thank you.
No problem.
Echelon. Echelon!
We'll get to Robot Chicken tomorrow. But yeah, we should.
Season 2.
Well, the big panels tonight. Okay, fine. We'll talk about golf tomorrow. Jeez.
Well, people, like Jordan said, we'll be back tomorrow at a special time of 7 p.m. for our What Are You Reading comic book show. We will talk about Comic Con. We'll talk about all the other news that didn't break during Comic Con. And we'll just wrap the week up. We hope you join us. And there are other fine shows here at Rant EM Radio. Every Tuesday night, 8 p.m. is The Rant with Double A and Tony C, followed by Freaks and Effing Geeks with our own lead champion, Rage.
Papers.
The doubleheader of Tuesday night. You know, Lee, you're going to have to broker peace between me and your boy. You know that, right?
I saw you making efforts to try to be friends with him, and he... is too far gone. He's not having it. Rage. Surfer made every attempt this last couple of days to be friends with him, and Rage is not having it. He's like just dismissing your attempt.
You two need to sit down over a couple of beers and work this out.
Rage won't do it.
I don't even think Rage drinks.
Well, it, you know.
Okay, fine. Yeah, you know, a basket of fried shrimp at Fred Lounge.
If I have to come with the double barrels to put him in his place, I will. Every Thursday at 9 p.m. is Rant and Wrestling.
Wait a minute, I'm sorry. After you call him a mammy, I think that sealed the deal, Surfer.
Okay, God. Wow.
Lee, I will talk to you.
Not just any man.
Hold up.
Mammy.
I will talk to you off the air about that, okay?
Got really dark.
Every
That shit was hilarious, sir. I'm sorry.
You mammy.
With the picture. Oh my god, with the picture.
These people all races. Screw it. No one's listening to me. Fuck this.
All caps. Mammy.
Fuck this.
Turnbuckle Throwbacks is at the new time of Fridays. New day. Not new time. New day. Fridays at 9 p.m. Phil and Dave will be live bringing you, starting the weekend off for you. And the Wrestling Call-In Show, which is about to come on after this, every Saturday night at 11 p.m., William Morgan, who couldn't give us a few extra minutes. Will, you let me down, Will!
Yeah. Willie!
He had to go ask Mammy.
You let me down. And next week, of course, will be WWE. Is it Battleground?
Battleground, yeah.
Battleground, yes. The pre and post show here at 7 p.m. at Rant EM Radio, and a post show at 11. And we got some other fine shows coming up here.
Oh, Surfer. Rage, yes, will not be on this week. He's going to be coming back from San Diego. He went to Comic-Con. He went as a Harriet Tubman cosplay.
God damn.
Bro, spirituals on Southwest.
They did like Harriet Tubman did parkour style. I saw it on Key and Peele. It was all real, man. It's too real.
She kisses on the plane.
Oh god damn it.
Singing the theme song for Women as Brewster Place. Making that your pee.
I don't know who these fuckers are. I just started working here.
I seen you. Who took my bag? I seen you. I saw your ass as naked as your pee.
I don't know who any of these people are.
Yeah, people. I'm gonna play that song. I'm gonna play this out so William can get on the air. You can listen to his fine programming. And I'm gonna talk Lee, I'm gonna talk to you after we're done recording, all right? So everybody say their goodbyes.
Jordan,
keep up the good work looking for articles for us, and let's we got one more day.
All right.
Everybody, peace.
Good papers.
Now when they see us in the streets, all they wanna do is take pics, and I'm like, okay. And when they hear us on the beat, all they wanna do is make hits, and I'm like, okay. Yeah, okay.
And if you're feeling how I'm feeling, how the world should be perfectly on fire like a third degree. And suddenly, shawty, we got so high, firefly.
Skateboarding down at Washington Square, looking for quarters, maybe a quarter, falafel for dinner. I'm so broke, man, scholarship apologist. Facebook messages from college kids who hollering. Girls like, we love you, we go to LSU. You gotta do a show so we can come and molest you. This rap stuff is magic. I used to get called Oreo and faggot. I used to get more laughs when I got laughed at. Oh, you got a mixtape, that's fantastic. But everybody thought it was jokes, though. They have, right, the joke is I got flow, so don't act like you ain't sitting there with your friends like it can't be. I know Donald Glover, he weak, man, he can't be. I'm still not down, but I up the ante. Me and hip-hop, that Black Sid and Nancy.
Now when they see us on the streets, all they wanna do is take pics, and I'm like, okay. Yeah, and when they hear us on the beat, all they wanna do is make hits, and I'm like, okay. Yeah, okay.
And if you're feeling how I'm feeling, how the world should be perfectly like a third degree, and suddenly, shawty, we got so high, firefly.
It's hard to make hold the footsteps you're following. Especially when your niggas look like Carlton. The pretty girls using skin so soft only be liking black dudes with their hats broke off. Nigga, you act too soft. Fuck you, I'm from the projects. My mama's just working to give me options. No live shows cause I can't find sponsors for the only black kid at a Souvian concert. Yeah, so what you gonna do, man? You don't speak to the hood, man.
If I was given one chance, I think I could, man. These black kids want something new, I swear it. Something they wanna say but couldn't, cause they embarrassed. All I do is make the stuff I would've liked. Reference things I wanna watch, reference girls I wanna fight. Now I'm Firefly like a burning kite, and use a fake fuck like a fleshlight. Even dudes who like me straight looking at me crazy, like how the hell you drop an EP and meet Jay-Z? Girls who used to tell me I ain't cool enough now text me pics saying you can tear this up. I don't really like shades, big rims, or jewelry, but getting time of day from a model is new to me. Being me isn't as hard as it used to be. Now everyone sing the chorus, man, you do it so beautifully.
Now the world should be perfect.